Amen. Father, we want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your presence here this morning with us. We want to move in accordance to your desires. We want to hear what it is you have to say to us. We want to submit our minds and our emotions and our desires. Father, we ask that you just move by virtue of your Holy Spirit and that you minister to the hearts of every individual here, whether they are old or young, big or small. My God, we pray that thy word will have free course. We pray, Father, for that impartation of life, that position, that place of holiness and righteousness. My God, we want to know you. And we have that desire, Father, at least I hope it is a desire that we all have. As Moses, he went up on the mountain and he says, I want to see you face to face. But unlike Moses, hallelujah, we are living in a time, in a dispensation, hallelujah, where you are preparing us, where we might be able to converse with you, hallelujah. Converse with you face to face, mouth to mouth, as it is spoken in the scriptures. My God, we just look to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We are talking about sanctification. We're talking about consecration. And I suggest that those of you who are scholars of the word are like the Bereans. You search the word. Hallelujah. I suggest that you get into the word and that you look and dig into those words to find out what they mean. But when the Bible talks about sanctification, when it talks about consecration, it really will not leave any doubt in your mind if you go to the right places to find the definition. And one of the places that you might want to go with regards to that is in Malachi. Hallelujah. And that verse is very important. Hallelujah. In that it tells you exactly what's going to happen at the end of the day as far as those individuals who desire to be a part of that bride company. Hallelujah. And I don't know if any of you are really aware of that or really believe that that is something that is going to happen. But in Malachi, the third chapter, you might want to find what verse it is. I don't know. I think it's 1 through 3 or 1 through 4. I'm not sure. Hallelujah. Or somewhere in there. It tells you what the plan and what the agent is that God is going to use to bring that sanctification. Hallelujah. Now, don't let that little phrase in there throw you off when it says, he shall purge the sons of Levi. Hallelujah. Because in some respect, there is a spiritual position of a Levitical priesthood. Hallelujah. Only that Levitical priesthood is to meld and merge and metamorphose into the priesthood of Melchizedek. But you don't start at Melchizedek, by the way. You start down there at the bottom of the ladder and work your way up. Hallelujah. Because Peter had a revelation, and the revelation that Peter had, he said, ye are kings and what? You are kings and priests. Hallelujah. And the Levitical priesthood was a people of priesthood. Hallelujah. So when it's referring to that position, that place, it is really talking about the fundamental or basic number one step or the place that you first come in to this priesthood ordination, where you come into this priesthood training that you might be able to be metamorphosed or changed from that Levitical order to a Melchizedek order, which is the higher order. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just like when you are born again, you're not perfect. You may like to think you are. Of course, none of you have that problem, I suppose. Hallelujah. But you may think you're perfect, but you really aren't perfect. You still have a lot of that in you, hallelujah, that is imperfect. And it is only by virtue of your living experience, walking and talking with God, that He begins to work on the process of your imperfection. Hallelujah. Of course, I don't suppose anybody here has a problem with anger, right? Hallelujah. About 22 years ago, we were driving out of the Lagos Airport, and we were getting on that freeway. Well, they called it a freeway. We were getting on the freeway that takes us into Lagos. And as we were driving in there, there was this car altercation where one car bumped into another car. Hallelujah. And as we passed, the driver of the car that got hit had the driver of the car that hit him on the hood of the car negotiating with him. Hallelujah. And when we passed him, the driver said, "Well, that's just a little Nigerian negotiation." Hallelujah. And I think that, in that respect, anger is something that all of us have to deal with, and some of us more than others have to deal with it. Hallelujah. But the aspect of it is that is not permissible under the Melchizedek priesthood. That has to be dealt with. That has to be purged. That has to be brought under control. Hallelujah. Some races, I said some types of humanity, let me put it that way. There's only one race, and that came out of Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have certain familiar spirits that they have to deal with. Hallelujah. I was brought up in the United States. We have a Declaration of Independence. Hallelujah. That means I can declare my independence, hallelujah, because there is a spirit that rules over the land that says I can be independent and that I can be equal with anybody and that I don't really need you. Of course, you don't have that thought or that feeling, right? Hallelujah. Well, I know different because there's a hierarchical system in your traditional position of living. Hallelujah. You have kings and princes and all of that sort of stuff. Hallelujah. And you also have the lesser, what do I call them? The lesser group down here who are basically servants of the higher group. Hallelujah. Boy, no amens. No amens. You said I was going to be in trouble, so I guess I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the most difficult things I find in this culture is three little words. I find it very difficult for you to say them, for you to really mean them and express them. That is please and thank you. Hallelujah. Come on. No amens again. Hallelujah. Please and thank you. They're just two little words, but they're very difficult for any of you to talk to anybody and say them in a sincere manner. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's usually not even a request when you are in that type of situation. It is something that you expect someone else to do because there is a spirit behind it and there is something that is ingrained in the culture. Hello? Hallelujah. And the aspect of the division of that culture, good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. Do too, ma'am. Hallelujah. And the response to that really divide you up into a position or a place of higher or lower degree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if something in that position of communication, nice to see you there. Hallelujah. If something happens in that communication where one the lesser of the does not hear or respond in an appropriate manner, then somebody gets mad. Hello? Am I talking to the right group of people? Yes. Hallelujah. Now remember, you asked me to come. You asked me to come. Hallelujah. If you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. But I got email after email telling me, where are you? You don't come anymore. Hallelujah. So I'm here, and if I'm here, I'm here because you asked me and because the Lord said I needed to go. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. I love you guys. I really do. I grew up in Nigeria. I cut my spiritual teeth in Nigeria. This was my spiritual training ground. Hallelujah. We came here to Nigeria almost 17 or 18 consecutive years, every year, faithfully, and maybe sometimes twice a year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we usually stayed from anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks. It wasn't just an in and out type of situation. Hallelujah. And when we came with the sincere desire to give you the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't rehearse a sermon. I was really going to go another direction this morning. I hope I'm going to get there. Praise the Lord. But this seems to be the direction I'm at the moment. Hallelujah. Because I am talking about sanctification. Hallelujah. You know, I can be anywhere in the world and I can find a Nigerian church. I can. I just have to find a Nigerian and follow him. Hallelujah. You come to the United States, you set up a community, and it becomes the community of Nigeria. And it's not just you. There are other ethnic origins that come, and they gather, hallelujah, they gather in a particular place, in a particular manner, and they make that place like the place that they came from as far as their home was concerned. Hallelujah. I know a group of individuals that were sent to a particular place in Europe, and they went there. Hallelujah. What'd they do? Now, they were sent there for a particular reason. And I told them many times. I went to see them many times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were sent there that they might propagate this gospel to the people of the land in which they were in. They did not do it. Hallelujah. They did not do it. Hello? And unfortunately, God disbanded the group. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I told them. Now, this is not one of those I told you so. But I told them what God was going to do if they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Hello? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, hallelujah, God will move on. Because God is going to have a bride at the end of the day, whether it's Indian, Nigerian, hallelujah, whether it's Czech, whether it's Togo, whether it's Sierra Leone, whatever it may be, God is going to have a bride at the end of the day. Yeah. Hallelujah. And what if I want to be in it, it's going to be up to me, not up to God. Because God has done everything he has been able to do as far as getting me ready. Hallelujah. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he did his part. You know, there was a council in heaven when the us, which is the Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there was a council in heaven, and in that council they had determined what it was they were going to do, how they were going to do it, and each part, each one of the Godhead would play in the doing of it. Hello? Hallelujah. Because it says, Elohim said. Now, why would you use a word that is indicative of a multiplicity of identities, hallelujah, and then put the word us? Now, you're talking about a Hebrew language. Hello? Hebrews knew that when you said Elohim, hello? Hallelujah. That you were talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in their mind, because Hebrew language is like a picturesque thing. You understand? Hello? Hallelujah. And when you say Elohim, you're saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so Elohim said, let us. There was a division of responsibility. There was a position or a place that they decided each individual part would have something to do concerning what it was that the Father wanted them to do. Now the Father in that capacity, the Father in that place is like a conceptual engineer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm not an engineer. I barely got it through the first year of college, much less get an engineering degree. Hallelujah. But what I am told about a conceptual engineer, it is somebody who is really pretty smart and really has the mechanics, the brain power that Brother Chijoki is always talking about, the mind power, the brain power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To have a thought, to have an idea, and he puts that idea out on the table. Hallelujah. I had a friend many years ago. He's passed on by now. Most of my friends have passed on by now. Hallelujah. And he was one of those very intelligent people. His IQ was up here. So he was of no practical value. I don't think he could nail two pieces of wood together. But he could think of something, and he could put it together mechanically in his mind. He could tell you how to do it and what you needed to do it, and give it to somebody who could do it. And he worked for the I lived in California, on Central Valley of California, and there is this town between me where I live and San Francisco, which is right on the coast. It's called Livermore. Hallelujah. Liverpool is in England. Hallelujah. But this place, and it's the place where they have a nuclear lab. Hallelujah. And he was one of the conceptual engineers. They would put him in a little padded room. I always wondered about that. Hallelujah. And they would give him an idea or a thought, and then they would just brainstorm. And that's basically what they did. They just brainstormed. Some of you may know what brainstorming is. You probably do it in some of the things that you are involved in. You're just throwing ideas out there. And along the way, something clicks. Hallelujah. And you begin to develop the thought. You begin to develop the idea. And then it comes to a point that, you know, this is really practical. We can do it. Hallelujah. Well, it's not quite like that in the Father, because he's all-knowing. He knows the present, the past, the future, and he knows what is in his mind. He already has the thing in his mind. So he brings it out and throws it on the table. Hallelujah. This is what I want to do. Hallelujah. And this is why I want to do it. Now, I'm not going to go into the why of it, because I went into that yesterday. If you want to know about it, you can get the tapes and you can listen to them. Or if you don't listen to them, it's your miss, not mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard this was a youth conference. And I asked somebody, I said, why are we restricting the word of God from God? You bring me all this way for this particular purpose, and then you tell people they can't come. Hallelujah. It's kind of a foreign thought to me. But anyway, hallelujah. He throws this out on the table because the thought or the idea that the Father had is what the Father created at the beginning. I'm getting to that. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was already a manifestation of what it was that the Father wanted to do. Because whatever was going on in that arena prior to Genesis 1:1, there was something working, and there was something broken, there was something that needed to be fixed, and the Father was already thinking about it. And he was determining how to fix it. Now, also, you have to keep in mind that the thing the Father is doing is not just temporal. It's not for just the time element in which we are living, or where time started and where time will end. But there is something at the end of the day that the Father is wanting to, how do I put this without getting misunderstood? Hallelujah. The Father is wanting to incorporate in a particular way in order to now do something greater than what he has done before. Hallelujah. And in order to do that, he must also incorporate man and God and meld and merge them in some manner and fashion in order to do it. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you can really think of God as having a need, but this was in God's mind, of the Father's mind, this was the practical solution to do in order to do what it is that he wanted to do. Hallelujah. Now, this was going to be today's lesson. Hallelujah. I always have drawn this in a horizontal fashion because it pertains to this realm in which we're living. Hallelujah. It deals with the horizontal relationship with you and I, with the world that is around us. Hallelujah. That really should be in black because it's not good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen? So there is a world around us. Now, if you want to know what Christ thought of the world, Jesus Christ thought of the world, hallelujah, go into John chapter 17 when he is making a prayer. Hallelujah. And he's talking to the Father about this plan, about this purpose, and he's incorporating and including his disciples. Hallelujah. And really, in some measure, in some way, Jesus, at this point, is beginning to pass the baton. He's beginning to transfer the authority. Hallelujah. Because I have given them what? Thy word. Now, if you really want to know, now this is all after Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Father, give me the glory. Now, glory is not some effervescent, shiny thing that, you know, that you can't look at and sparkles and glows and makes you feel warm and makes bumps run up and down your arm and up and down your back. That's not the glory he's talking about. The glory he's talking about is the essence of his nature, the totality of what and who he is. And what and who God is always defined by the word omni. O-M-I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? O-M-N-I. Omni. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And everything about this heavenly being is omni. Hallelujah. Omnipresent. Hallelujah. He's here, he's there, he's over there, he's at my home in Lampasas ministering to my wife. He's there in Burnett, California, ministering to my grandchildren and my children. He's there in Europe with the brethren. He's over there in India, and he's here in this room. Hallelujah. He's everywhere at the same point. He knows everything that is going on. You talk about network. And you have network because of the omni character of God. And you have network because you have the creative power in you to make a network, to invent a network. You didn't know what network was until you had a computer. Hello? Now, how did they determine you could make one computer talk to another computer? I can talk to my computer that's home on my desk. Hallelujah. And if it wasn't for a network, I'd be in big trouble. I pay my bills, I pay my rent, I pay everything by the network. I got one amen. Hallelujah. And the network was created by virtue of the power that is in you to create. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I have a son. I have many sons, but I have one son who is he's a mechanic, and he's very good. In fact, I really think he's gifted. Hallelujah. It just seems like he can hear a motor or something, and he can almost tell you what is wrong with the motor just by hearing it. Now, he goes into diagnostics and all of that, but you know, you got to look like you're doing something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's always needing some kind of tool for a particular job, because that's the way the mechanics, the tool people make their business. They make a part that you need a special tool for, so you have to buy the tool to make sure and put that part on your car, and then the mechanic has to buy the tool to get the part off. Hello? But this young man, he sits down and thinks about it. He takes his welder, he takes a nut and a bolt and some iron, and he goes and welds it all together somehow, and he turns around and it uses it to do what it needs to do. Hallelujah. He's very inventive. He's very creative in that line of his expertise. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is something in him that is not him, and it was there by virtue of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll give you another example of it. How many of you dream dreams? Huh? Hallelujah. How many of you see visions? Do you know what's happening? Huh? Do you know what's going on? Hallelujah. You're tapping into the network. You're tapping into the omniscient network. Hallelujah. You're having a dream about something. And you know, you can dream about something years back. Hallelujah. I had a series of dreams, maybe 30 years ago now. Hallelujah. And I had a series of dreams. One year I was just dreaming. And I had this notebook full of dreams. Hallelujah. And time came, time went. I forgot all about it. And one day, bang, I woke up and found myself in a situation. And when I found myself in that situation, I remembered those dreams. Hallelujah. So I went rustling out, pulling out this box, pulling out that box, trying to find that tablet in which I had put those. This was before computers, by the way. And I was trying to find that tablet. I had wrote all those dreams down. When I did find it, I found out it detailed every experience, it detailed every move, it detailed everything that I was at that present time going through. And it really gave me courage, it gave me strength, and it gave me an ability. Hallelujah. How could I have a dream like that? Huh? Because I am born not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh. And I don't have just flesh and blood cursing through my veins. I have a spirit of energy that is called the spirit of light, which is called the spirit of life and liberty. Hallelujah. Which is of my Father, who I am a part of his family by virtue of his blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You're going to sleep on me. Hallelujah. So there is this position, there is this place of experience that we have. Prophecy is another illustration of it. How do I know what's going to happen in your future? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in my future. So how can I tell you this and this and this and this and this? Or how can I see you in a situation or a circumstance and begin to explain to you what the circumstance is? I'm not there. I don't live with you. I haven't been around you. Haven't talked to anybody about you. How in the world is it I can know what I know? How is it? Because I am part of that omniscient, all-knowing position or place of the operation of the Omni-God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, we are just scratching, if even scratching. We are just scratching a little bit of the surface. Hallelujah. Jesus had an open network. Hallelujah. He was continually in contact with the Father. How else could he say, you're going to go into this town and you're going to see this man. He's going to be bearing a pitcher. You follow this man to his house. Hallelujah. Or how could he tell the man, you're going into this town and there's this young mule there that I want you to go up to him and I want you to tell him that the master has need of it. Untie it and walk off with it. They didn't ask him. Hallelujah. They just untied the mule and began to walk away saying, the master has need of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We should have that position of experience. We should have that ability. We should know the reality of that realm if it were that we were not of the world. So Jesus was praying, and I started all this on that basis. Jesus was praying about his disciples, and he had just finished asking the Father to give him the glory that he had with him in the beginning. Hallelujah. So here he is now praying for it. And he says, I now am going to pray for these young men that are around me. Hallelujah. I have given them thy word. There's a progression here, you understand. Hallelujah. First of all, Jesus had the word. The Father gave him the word. And now he's there and he's taking that word and he's giving it to them. Hallelujah. And that word brought a division. You know, one of the first things they had to do, hallelujah, and I'm not telling you to do this, I'm just throwing it out there on the table and let you take a look at it and have to chew on it. You can either swallow it or choke on it. Hallelujah. He said, come. What did he say? Follow me. Come, follow me. What? I'm in my boat. This is my livelihood. I have a wife. I probably have a family. I have rent to pay. I got food to buy. Hallelujah. I have all of these things working in my life. Do you understand? That says, no, you can't follow. No, you can't follow. No, you can't follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, come, follow me. Now, I'm not telling you all to quit your jobs and go out there and start preaching. I'm not telling you that at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you have to know God in order to follow him. Hallelujah. And you have to have a word from the Lord in order to be obedient. Hallelujah. But when that fellowship of knowing and when the word comes, you had best be able to be ready to do what it is that you need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I always tell people, you know, whatever you're doing, however you're doing, if you can tell me that the Lord said to me, I release you. I release you. It is no longer my responsibility. Because the Bible says to me, he that saith, or she that saith, the Lord said, and the Lord saith not, woe be unto me. That means that God is going to deal with you if God really didn't say something about it. Hallelujah. And you were just in your mind, wanted to do something, and you just put the Lord's name on it. We do that a lot, by the way. Hallelujah. I feel led of the Lord. You know, God doesn't operate by feelings, by the way, brethren. I just feel the Lord is saying, I just feel to go this way. I just feel this. I feel that. I feel, like a blind man. Blind man, feel. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to feel. I had another friend of mine, he says, the church, and he was talking about the end time church, he says they are suffering a deadly malady called lead poisoning. Not LED, LEAD. Lead poisoning. You know lead is dangerous. You ingest it, it'll kill you. Well, isn't that right? And they used to put it in paint. You can't use paint now in the United States that has lead in it. Hello? Because babies would chew on the what do they call the window sill, because they would be painted with lead and they would get sick. It took them a long time to figure out what was going on, but they finally figured it out and they said, no longer can you use this paint on these types of structures and things. And I don't even know if they really have lead paint anymore. That is available that you can buy. But nevertheless, we have a malady of being led by feeling. Hallelujah. And I don't know, and some of us, maybe not all of us, and I say us, I'm including myself in all of this, by the way. Hallelujah, I'm not excluding myself. Some of us, We easily say something like God said, the Lord said, blah, 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 blah. Hallelujah. But there is a position in God, as far as you are concerned, that is not going to be a tolerable position or tolerated position that you can assume or take, because you should know better. Hallelujah. You have a word. Hallelujah. That is far greater than anyone has ever had. You are now having a third generation. In my time frame of coming to Africa, I am seeing the third generation of people. Hello? Hallelujah. And I believe that third generation of people, those children, hallelujah, will see the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I once wrote an article on the generational clock, hallelujah, of time and how God calculates it. Hallelujah. You can find it online somewhere. Hallelujah. It was just a little tidbit that God was showing me, and I shared it and sent it out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I believe that we are coming into that third generational aspect of when Jesus Christ should come. Now, don't get mad at me if he doesn't come. Hallelujah. We have education. We have professions. We have to get married. We have to have kids. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to. Hallelujah. The have to, it's a disease. Hallelujah. It's a disease. Hallelujah. And if you get it strong enough and it infects you, the entire aspect of your being, of your soul, it will kill you. Hallelujah. Because to be separated, hallelujah, from the plans and the purposes of God for me would be death. Hallelujah. You know, God once gave me, I said to him, I said, what, from my perspective, I want to know what hell is like. This was when I was a very young Christian. Hallelujah. Just coming into this word, by the way. This was probably over 40-some years ago. Hallelujah. And I said, I want to know what hell is like. Please, can you tell me? Well, telling me wasn't good enough. He had to show me. I went to bed that night and I had a dream. Now, at the time, I was working in a job where I was a file clerk. Hallelujah. It was an appliance, furniture business. And the customers and whatnot, they had an active customer file, they had an inactive customer file, and they had a deadbeat file. Hallelujah. That's those people who bought and don't pay, and they lost out and they had to write it off. Hello? Hallelujah. That was the dead file, and that's what they call it, a dead file. Do you have a dead file in your office? Hallelujah. Most places have dead files. Of course, now everything's computerized, right? So you put them in there. You just throw them in the little trash can. Hallelujah. And in the dream, hallelujah, and I'm aware of this fighting system. And I know that the number one position, the number one place file for the active customers are those customers who are good customers. They pay their bills, they buy the equipment that they're selling, and all of those things. And those are the type of people they want to encourage to come back and to buy more. The inactives are those good files that people have done business with us once or twice, but have for some reason or another stopped doing business with us, and we're always going back to them and sending them brochures, sending them advertisements, and sending them, trying to encourage them to come back. The dead file, you didn't even open the drawer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in this experience, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but in this experience that God gave me, I was like one of those files. My name was on the file, and I was moved from the good file to the inactive file. Hallelujah. And then, in a course of time, I was removed from the inactive file to the dead file. And of course, there's a lot of things going on between the moving, which I'm not going to tell you. Hallelujah. And I am as I am taken out of that inactive file, there is this sense of trepidation, there is this sense of fear, there is this sense of I can't hardly even explain it. Hallelujah. Now God is showing it to me, not as a sinner, but as a Christian. And my relationship with God, you understand, was very important. I had this relationship with the Lord concerning my interaction with Him and His interaction with me. And the time frame that we would spend together was always very comforting and something that I always looked forward to. But when I was in the inactive file, I was aware that that presence was withdrawing from me. Hallelujah. And it started creating something in my soul that I cannot... that I can only express as terror. Hallelujah. And then when I was taken out of the inactive file, hallelujah, and put into the dead file, and I knew I was going to the dead file, there was this excruciating fear and terror, hallelujah, that came upon me that was actually very painful. It was like my body was in some way or another on fire. Hallelujah. And I wasn't on fire, but the feeling of it, the feeling, do you understand? The thoughts, the feeling was hammering away at my consciousness. Hello? And then when I was put into that file, hallelujah, the file door was shoved. And I can tell you the sound to this day when it closed. It just made this thump. Hallelujah. And it was total darkness. But the darkness that it was is that I was aware that God the Father was no longer conscious of me. And for me, that was torment. Hello? Because I had known His presence. I had known and I had enjoyed this position of relationship with Him. Hallelujah. He wasn't showing me it from a sinner's perspective. He was showing it from from a perspective of what would be the greatest and worst torment that I could possibly have. Hallelujah. And that was the division and the separation, and no longer communicated. And I could scream my head off, and there would be no recognition of where or who or what I am. As far as He was concerned, I did not exist. Hallelujah. I do not want to be in that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know. And in some degree, concerning the position or the place of development and growth, if you're looking at the divisions of the tabernacle, hallelujah, you have the division, hallelujah, you have the 30-fold, Hallelujah. Which is the outer court experience. All the benefits of it to some degree. You have the 60-fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have the 100-fold. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. And the 100-fold is going to get something that the 60-fold did not get. And the 60-fold is going to get something that the 30-fold did not get. We are not all going in at the same level. Not as long as humanity is in a position or a place of authority. The Bible says in Hebrews that those who gone before us who had a good report, hallelujah, they had a good report, but they received not the promise. Why? Because they were not yet perfected. They had not yet in the body come to that position of perfection. Do you hear me? Say amen.
Amen.
Or say oh me. Hallelujah. Because it says they, without us, cannot be perfect. Why does the Bible say that? Why? Because you and I, to be perfect, have to have a body to overcome. It is the body and the ministry of the world around us that is ministering to us, hallelujah, to be more of the world, take in more of the world, hallelujah, and become more like the world that we have to overcome. They are there. They do not have a body that can be tempted. They cannot see that temptation or feel it. But they can watch us and they can know what it is that we are experiencing. And they can see the fight that we are in the fighting of it. And when we break through, hallelujah, they get the release and they receive the revelation and there is a change within their character. Because you're still changing in heaven, by the way. Heaven is not the absolute assured means of becoming perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and you know, we need to understand something. You know, have you ever got into such tribulation? And you ever get into this fight or this with something, whatever it may be, and you just say, well, I wish the Lord would take me home. You need to repent. Have you ever said that? I would be better off on the other side with the Lord. Oh, I've said it lots of times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever said it? I don't think you're being honest with me. Hallelujah. That is called spiritual suicide. It's spiritual suicide. And you know what? A devil will hear you. Hallelujah. And then the devil will do everything he can do to try to make what you said come true. Hello? Hallelujah. Because we are not born of the spirit of death. We are born of the spirit of light and life. Hallelujah. To whom the Son of Man sets free. Hallelujah. He is free indeed. Hallelujah. And these fiery darts, these situations, these circumstances of tribulation are ordained of God. And I don't know that we have the understanding of that ordination. There are four posts. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm going to say a lot of things that we already covered. So, praise God. And I'm not going back over it too much. There are four posts at the gate of the tabernacle. Now, you have to understand the tabernacle is totally, absolutely prophetic. It's not just a drawing. It's not just words on a sheet of paper. It is a prophetic promise. All prophecy in some way or another is a promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Lord came to me and he told me to go somewhere and I was not willing to go because of my current set of circumstances, he said to me, He said, if you will do what I want you to do, I said, I will do for you what you need to have done. And he was talking about my children. Hallelujah. That was a promise. It didn't change my situation at the time. You understand? It didn't change it. It was still very troubling. It was very destructive. The thing that was happening was very, 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 very difficult. It did not change my current set of circumstances. But it was a promise that if I would do and perform, he would do something for me when it needed to be done. And it wasn't on the basis of my thinking it needs to be done now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe not so much in Nigeria, but in the States and also in Europe, we're fast foods people. Hallelujah. We're fast foods people. You just drive in around this little driveway, drive up to a speaker. You don't even talk to a person. Hallelujah. You press a button. Hallelujah. Beep. Yes, can I help you? And you find yourself talking to a board. Not a person. The person's there somewhere, but you don't see him. And you order French fries and a hamburger. Hallelujah. And then you drive into the window knowing you're going to get the French fries and the hamburger. Hello? Hello? Would to God we could have so much faith in God as to the word that he gives us concerning the change that we have to make. Hello? And I want to tell you something else. God is not going to make it easy. Because you have the strength, you have the power to do what you need to do if you're willing to pay the price to do it. Hallelujah. 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 So there are four posts here. This prophetic gate, hallelujah, is broadcasting. Hallelujah. You look at it. Hallelujah. You don't hear it with your eye. You don't see it with your eye per se. You don't hear it with your ear. But nevertheless, it's a proclamation. Proclamation that is going out. Proclamation that is going out. Proclamation that is sounding. A horn that is blowing. Oh, brethren, don't you hear the trumpet sound? What? Bringing liberty to every man. That's what is being prophesied. That's the horn that is blowing. It's a horn that is blowing. Not just change, but it's blowing jubilee. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because on the fine linen that is hung on the gate, hallelujah, the fine linen that is hung there, there is embroidered these different colors that have spiritual intent, spiritual purpose, spiritual reality. Because they were not given as just random colors. God gave Moses the colors. He says, you will do this, you will do this, you will do this. It will be red, it will be blue, it will be white linen, and it will be purple. Hello? Every color has a proclamation. The scarlet thread is the color of blood. It says there is a blood that is not of human source, it's not of human making. It is a blood that has been born of God. And in that blood there is an energy. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be brought out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there was something in me that wanted to get out of darkness into light. Why? Because there was a trumpet blowing, there was a trumpet sounding, there was a clarion call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, and I shall give you rest. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. But we think it's a one-time event. And we celebrate our birthdays more than we celebrate the time we got born again. Hallelujah. I don't celebrate birthdays. I just know every year I get 1 year older. That's right. And I'm not headed Toward age, by the way, I'm going toward eternity. And it's up to God what he wants to do about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you hit 39, you just get stuck. It's always 39. Hallelujah. Problem is, time keeps moving on. I wonder where you were. Hallelujah. Time keeps moving on. Time keeps moving on. Oh, moving on, moving on. I'm not getting older. I'm getting younger. Hallelujah. I may not look it, but I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what refreshes me? This kind of environment, this type of situation. I think I get more benefit out of it than you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's the Word of God. We are to eat, feed, drink, sleep, wallow in it. We are supposed to wrap ourselves in the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Because it is by the washing of the water of the Word that my soul is going to be purified and give me the strength to do what I need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to come to the place where Paul said, it is not I, but Christ in me. Hallelujah. I am not the one that's doing it. I am not the one who is exerting the strength. It is Christ within me. Let that Christ come forth in his glory. Almighty Christ. Isn't there a song? What is it? Almighty Christ. Come what? Somebody, where is Zomi here? Hallelujah. Sing a few lines of that. Almighty Christ. Do you... Just do it a cappella. Hallelujah. Almighty Christ. Not will my way. Do you yield it? Really? Do you really yield it? Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Or is your circumstances so astronomically, proportionately out of so great that you cannot see the reality of what is inside of you? Hallelujah. It's not something God is going to do externally. It's not something God is going to do because you need money or you need health or you need help in your brain. It is going to be something that comes out of the birth of Jesus Christ and the seed that is within you. Loose! Hallelujah. So this gate is prophesying to you. It's got the color of red. Come unto me, ye that heavy laden and burdened, and take my yoke upon you. For it is my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. Come unto me and be born again. Hallelujah. It's got the blue that is red through it, and it's saying, not only will I bring you into my household, but I am going to make you a son. Not just any son. Do you hear me? I'm going to put you in the position, in the place of the joint heir of my son, my son Jesus. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's got the purple in it that's woven, and it's prophesizing your position of royalty. Hallelujah. You shall walk in the courts of the king. Hallelujah. It's a proclamation, brother, and it's not just something that God did to make it look pretty. Not something God did just to make sure that you couldn't see. It is something that you had to, that there was something that would prophesy a message out to you that would bring you to the place to where you were willing to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, hallelujah, there's a problem. When you come into that position, you come into that place. When you are born again, you still have something inside of you that is very real, very much alive, and very much working to hinder the progress and the procedure of going out, going forth, and receiving and getting that which is being promised to you. And it's called darkness. And it's a nature. Darkness. World is a nature. Because world is a form of darkness. Everything in the world is under the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. Hello? He rules this world. I don't care who you elect. And you're not going to do it by politics, by the way. Yes. You guys put a lot of hope in politics. Hallelujah. Yes, you do. You put a lot of hope in politics. The more hope you put in politics, the more you're going to be disappointed. The more hope that you put into politics, the more you're going to suffer because of it. And I'm not telling you not to vote or get involved in that respect, but I'm saying if your hope is in the change of politics, you are mistaken. You are deceived. Hallelujah. Because it's not politics that is going to change you. It is what is inside of you that is going to change you. And when it changes you, you will begin to change your environment. Because it goes out of you into your home, into your community, into your nation. Loose! And right now there is a process. Years ago when we were here in Nigeria, there was a word of prophecy. And there was a vision. And they saw Nigeria split. Not horizontally, but diagonally. From north down to south. Hello. Hallelujah. It was split. Hallelujah. And the other side was darkness. That northern side was darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can do all the politics you want to do. But somewhere along the line, the word of the Lord is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. And you better be ready. You better be ready. Because it's not going to come in transition with ease or comfort. Hallelujah. Do you know the devil, in order to do what the devil needs to do, he needs blood. He needs blood. That's why you have bombings. That's why you have these people incarcerating and capturing and killing. Because he needs blood. And he likes Christian blood a whole lot more than he likes sinner's blood. Because there's an energy in you that the sinner doesn't have. Hallelujah. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hello. Hallelujah. And if you are a Christian, there is more energy of life in you. And if the devil is able to kill you, he's able to take that energy. Hallelujah. And it gives him strength to do what he needs to do. Hallelujah. Our place of a warfare is not with a weapon, not with a gun. Our place of warfare is in the closet in prayer. Hallelujah. Sincere, travailing prayer. Hello? Hallelujah. So that when the devil comes knocking on your door with a machine gun, hallelujah, you have the strength, you have the power to rebuke it. Don't think if you're not ready to rebuke it that you're going to be able to rebuke it. You have to be ready to rebuke it. You have to have the faith. You have to have the position. You have to have the change. You have to have the character inside of you that believes God. Hallelujah. And there's not going to be a doubt inside of your mind. And it doesn't make any difference if you live or you die. But if you die, then you die for the sake of Christ. And your death will not be something that the devil can suck up. Hallelujah. It will be an offering as unto the Lord. And the Lord will see the blood of it. And he will move on the basis of it. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. You have not been called to start churches. You have not been called to start some position or place of congregational gathering. You've been called to save the world. Hallelujah. You have been called to save the world. We're too busy saving ourselves in some natural manner, some natural way. Hallelujah. And we are too practical, and we don't want to seem too fanatical. Oh, hallelujah. If my fanaticism is in God and is led by the Holy Spirit, then let me be considered a fanatic. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a prophecy, there's a word that is going forth. Jesus said, I have given them thy word. And that word has brought a division between them and the world. He says, they are in the world, but they're not of the world. Could you say that about yourselves in the circumstance and the situation that you are in? You are in the world, but you're not a part of the world? I can't say that. Hello? Hallelujah. I still have these things I got to seemingly do something to take care of. Hello? And it's not that you're not supposed to take care of some responsibility that is laid on your shoulders, but how you take care of it, it determines whether it's by faith or by works that God is examining it. And he's the one who assesses it, not I, not your neighbor. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know, I'm not opposed to making money. But what do you use your money for? Huh? What do you use your money for? Hallelujah. The express train's going through. Hallelujah. What do you use it for? Do you use it to perpetuate the kingdom of God? Do you perpetuate the word that you have been that has been delivered to you as a people? Hallelujah. Or are you using it for some comfort or a position of surety or some sort of prosperity that you desire for whatever reason you might desire? What do you use your money for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got news for you, by the way. Hallelujah. It's more important for you to understand what God wants you to do with your money than what you think you should do with it. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you something about money. Money is a blood offering. You earn by the sweat of your brow. Hallelujah. Money is a blood offering. So whatever you're giving your money to, if it does not perpetrate or propagate the kingdom of God, you are throwing your money into a trash can. And whatever you get is going to be temporal. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you have any control over the value of your money? Huh? It goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. Hallelujah. More down than up. Hallelujah. And yet, you put so much value in it. Huh? Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God is suffering. Do you hear me? It's suffering. It's suffering. And I'm not asking you for money. I'm just telling you what God is laying on my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because money is an idol. And the things that you buy with that money do not perpetrate the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is the totality of focus that God wants us to have. Because it's not temporal. I was here sometime, I don't remember when it was. But there was this young man. He was a university student. He was an only child. And their parents had some great hope for him, I'm sure, because they had spent a lot of money in his education. And before he could finish his education, he had some sort of accident or something happened, and he died. Ah! All that investment, all that hope, all that thought, all that was poured into that child, gone. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. You remember the rich man? Oh, I'm going to build me another bigger barn. Hallelujah. You know, when I first came to Nigeria, you young ones, you don't know anything about it. You've been raised under a different culture. But your parents are aware of it. Hallelujah. There was poverty. No economy, nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. And God, you moved and you worked with each other. You helped each other. My God, we were so blessed to see the willingness to sacrifice what you did not have. Loose! You remember? Didn't have nothing. Dirt poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, you lost it. Hallelujah. Things began to happen. Prosperity came. Hallelujah. Your houses got bigger. The cars more fancy. Hallelujah. And of course, your children going to the better schools. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. What I am saying is what you are investing in, is it on the basis of the Word of God, or is it because you're just wanting to create a better life and be comfortable in the life that you are creating? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. And at the same time, hallelujah. World, hallelujah. World working, crowding in on our consciousness, crowding in on our lifestyle, crowding in on our position of spirituality. You are supposed to be in the world, but not part of it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, how do you translate that? How do you translate it? You're in the world, but you're not part of it. How do you translate that? I don't know how you translate that. Hallelujah. And you can say, well, this is the word he gave for your disciples. Brethren, you just read on a little further down in the scripture there in John chapter 17. Huh? He says, I not only pray for you, but I pray for them also who you give your word to them. What did happen? Did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? Huh? Jesus is talking about this word that he had from the beginning and the glory that he had being given to him. Hallelujah. All right? Then he prays for his disciples. And then at some point, and he says, and the glory that I have, that you have given me, I am what? Now going to give to them. What glory is he given to them? Go back to John chapter 1. Read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to the end of the chapter. In the beginning, hallelujah, was nothing but the Word, and the Word was light, and the life was light, and the life was the light, and the light was the life of men. Loose! He turns around now and says, all that glory you give back to me that I had with you before the world was. And now he turns around and I give it to you. And the disciples now, his word becomes their word. Go into your scriptures and look at it. It says, this is now your word. He passed the baton. And the disciples, they wrote the books of the Bible. They wrote the reality of the things and the different writers there that were writing the Old Testament and all that, the testimony of that word. And it says, those that believe on your word, I am also giving it to them. So that means if you receive their word, you have the word. The same word that Jesus had in the very beginning. Isn't that right? Or is my Bible something? Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, rip it out of your Bible. Rip it out. Hallelujah. It does you no good if you don't believe it. Hallelujah. We haven't even got through the gate. Hallelujah. We talked about that golden altar of incense. I mean, that golden altar, that brazen altar. Brazen is judgment. Brass is judgment. It's indicative of judgment. The post of the outer court. Hallelujah. 20 on one side, 20 on the other side. They were made of brass. Brother, how did they carry that stuff? That thing weighed tons. Tons. And they transported it all the way from Egypt, hallelujah, all the way to Canaan. They must have been really important, huh? Hallelujah. It took a whole tribe to transport it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's just the post. Hallelujah. You know brass is heavy. Brass is heavy. Hallelujah. Brass is heavy. Hallelujah. Not to mention gold. The board on the tabernacle was about that thick. Huh? And it was made out of shittim wood. And that wood, like the acacia wood, it is hard, heavy wood. You can hardly drive a nail through it. Hallelujah. You got to drill it sometimes to get a nail to go through it. And that wood is indicative of man. My mother used to go, knock on wood. Hallelujah. Talking about my head and the way I was acting. Hallelujah. So there's a word that God is bringing to you and I, and that word is sanctification, consecration, dedication. Hallelujah. And if you want to know, let's go back to where I started. Malachi chapter 3. He says, I'm going to send to you the messenger of the covenant. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? What is a messenger? It's someone who bears a message. It is someone who comes telling you something that God told them concerning what it was that was on his mind, on his heart, with regards to the people to whom he is now speaking. Hallelujah. So he said, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way. Do you hear it? He's going to prepare the way. How is he going to prepare it? He's going to come bearing gifts and come walking with his little food basket and knock on your door and say, yes, I've come to just spend a little pleasant time with you. That's not what it says. He says, I come. He says, I prepare the way, and the Lord whom ye seek. Are you seeking? You know, we sing these songs about seeking the Lord, about the coming of the Lord. Oh, we want that glorious coming. We want that kind of glory to come down and bless us. We want to be having a good time. We want to be shouting and praising, and we want the feeling of effervescence coming up out of our being and all of the things that come with that type of environment. That's not the coming he's talking about. Hallelujah. Do you really want him? Then he's going to send a messenger to you. And the message is going to be like fuller soap and a refiner's fire. Do you know what fuller soap is? I suppose some of you do. Hallelujah. It's a soap that has lye. It has lye. It's a mineral, a caustic mineral. Hallelujah. It has lye in it. I think some of your soaps that you wash clothes with have lye in it. Not to a great deal, but something that will get the dirt, right? Hallelujah. But they use a fuller soap is someone who tans hides. They take a skin and they skin an animal, and then they take and they cure the hide. Hallelujah. And they use something like a fuller soap to do that. It's got lye in it. It eats the residue of the meat and fat that is on the skin. Hallelujah. And not only does it eat the skin, the meat in the skin, but it also softens the leather. Hello? Because you want that leather pliable, pliable. You want to be able to either sew it or wear it or somehow or another utilize it where it's not hard and stiff. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says he's going to send a fuller soap. He's going to spend an abrasive type of situation, abrasive type of circumstance. And that circumstance and that situation is to get rid of the residue of flesh. It's to get rid of the residue of fat. Hello. Hallelujah. You know, I used to think the blessing of the Lord is a nice bank account. That's me. I used to think that the blessing of the Lord was a nice bank account. Hallelujah. But that is not a blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is as you move as the Lord tells you, he provides what you need. And he doesn't provide it before you move. He provides it as you move or after you move. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Brother Dusil used to tell me, he says, it's a real pity, he said, if we are in the body of Christ, we think that we have to get the confirmation by the fact of getting the money before we go. He's talking about traveling. And he said, that is not the point. If you do that, you're missing the point. And he's talking to us kids. He's not talking to you, he's talking to us kids. Hallelujah. Those he had favor on and decided that the Lord had spoke to him to take us with him. He says the faith, the position of faith is hearing from God. You first hear from God, and then you obey. You don't ask how much. You don't ask when. You just obey. You do what you have to do. Hallelujah. And then you forget about it because whatever happens after that, it's God's business. And you know, God won't always answer you instantaneously. You know that. He doesn't always do that. He wants to put you in the fire. He wants to test you. He wants to see what you're made out of. Hallelujah. He wants to see if you will buckle under the heat. He wants to see if you will move contrary and begin to say, God, where are you? You ever get in a circumstance, look up at the heaven at night and say, God, where are you? Well, I've done it many times. And every time I've been rebuked, and every time I've been chastised because I didn't believe. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The Lord knows how to take you to the woodshed. Hallelujah. So we didn't, when we were coming, we didn't have a lot of money. I had responsibilities at home. My job wasn't that big or that much. Hallelujah. But when God said for us to go, we came, we went. Hallelujah. And I'm not puffing myself up. I'm just telling you what my experience is and what I believe the Lord is telling me to tell you. Hallelujah. You have to have a word of God. You have to have the knowing and the reality of what God is saying to you. He says, go, you go. He says, you stay, you stay. Hallelujah. If he says, you abide, you abide. If he says, go work, you go work. Hallelujah. You know, I used to say to God, you know, I was a builder and I love to build. I love carpentry. I just love everything about it. Hallelujah. I like building things. And when I build something, I want it to be there permanently. I don't want it to just fall apart after I leave. Hallelujah. It's very important. And I want to be able to walk by and say, I built that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I once said to God, you know, God, and I was making my living by it. Hallelujah. And you said, there was a particular aspect of building that I wanted to get into, but you know, it was kind of more like a craftsman type job than it was just normal construction. And I said to God, you know, if you would give me a job where I would not have to worry about how much I'm going to get paid, I'd just love it. You know what he did? He did. And you know what he paid me? Nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I enjoyed every minute of it because I got to do what I wanted to do, and I did it right, not because I was getting a lot of money, but because I wanted to do it and I wanted it done right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was complaining to God about this a circumstance and a situation. This is another financial situation. We were kind of in a bind, and I'm saying to Lord, and I'm talking about the work that we're involved in. I said, Lord, what's going on here? What's happening? I said, can't you do something about our situation? Don't you see what there is a need? You know what he told me? Dig deeper. That's what he told me. Dig deeper. I thought I was digging deep enough. I thought I was digging deep enough, brethren. I thought my going, my experience involved, this and that and that and that, and everything that I was putting out in that arena, I thought that was sufficient. And he tells me, dig deeper. Hallelujah. So I dug deeper, and you know what? I found something else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a position we have to come to that we are in tune. We are hooked up to a network. Hello? A network that is not natural, a network that is spiritual, that we might know the mind of the Father and move under the auspices of that authority. What happens beyond that is his business. Brother Dusille used to say that when he was called, he left his business. And he said, if my business is in a mess naturally, it's not my business, it's his business. And you know, he lost everything. He lost everything. Every aspect, everything. He lost everything. But he gained something in the eternal realm. Because he was willing to move on the basis of the burden that was upon his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't even get past the gate. We can't even hardly make it to the brazen altar. And we think that brazen altar is a one-time experience. It's just the initiation. It's just the beginning. It's just an experience that brings and opens a wide portal, a wide door to a realm of eternity. If we're willing to go through and do what is necessary to be done. But we're bogged down in our humanity and world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I really wanted to get into the brazen laver. That's why we sang that song earlier. Hallelujah. But we're talking about consecration. Let's get the world out of us. Let's get the world out of us. Hallelujah. Let's become globally conscious. And I'm not talking about particular works or this or that. Let's become globally conscious, because the reality of the calling in the election is not just local. We are concerned about local. Local. We're local about local. Hallelujah. We're so surrounded with our environment, so surrounded with our responsibilities, that we cannot see beyond the end of our nose. When out there in the wideness of this whole thing that we call world, God is moving. God is moving. And we need to strengthen him, not just financially, spiritually speaking. I'd rather have you in your closet praying than I would have be in your bank account giving me money. Because if you pray and you're earnest, God will do whatever God needs to do in order for the work to survive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fellowship here was based and began on much sacrifice. Do you hear me? And then you young people, you have no knowledge of the privilege you have. And I don't know if your parents have told you some of the things that were going on. And I don't mean telling you, well, you don't have it as rough as I had it when I was a boy. I had to do this and this and this and that. No, I'm talking about the spiritual reality of the darkness and the sacrifices that were made, both here as well as those that came. Hallelujah. It's not just sacrifice. It's blood. Do you understand? It's blood. It's blood. It's blood. It's life. Hallelujah. Do you understand? It's life. Year comes, year goes. You're another year older. You invested. It's life. Hallelujah. And it's something that should be considered on the basis of the word that you have. And what are you going to do with it? The battle is being passed. Do you understand that? There's only a few of us alive anymore who were involved in the aspect of the initiation of what happened here. 40 years ago, 45 years ago. There's only a few of us alive. Hello? So the mantle is being passed. The thing of responsibility is being passed. What are you going to do with it? Hallelujah. Are you going to be out here, coming in, going out, coming in, going out, coming in, going out, coming in, going out? Hallelujah. Coming in, going out? Or are you going to go all the way in? Or are you going to get in here and wander around? Huh? Wander around with your little 30-fold. Are you going to come here and just say, oh, God, praise the Lord, we got the word of sonship, we got the position, we got the place, we got the understanding, and your word has no power of life. So you wander around, and you go, you not only wander around, but you go out, and you come in, you go out, you come in, you go out, and you come in, you go out, and then you go all the way out. Loose! You're not called to be 30, you're not called to be 60, you're called to be 100. You're called to be 100. You're called to be 100. But 100-fold requires 100%. And you have to determine the 100%. Hallelujah. In accordance to your position of life and what the Word of God is saying to you. Quite frankly, I think we need to repent. That's my personal opinion, for what it's worth. I think there is a need for some of us to repent. Hallelujah. And in our repentance, we need to work out our deliverance. Because things are changing. Things are changing. I understand they've changed the money currency from the dollar to China. God help us. Anybody who puts their hope and trust in China, they in their own right have aspirations of world domination. What are they going to do with your money? Huh? What are they going to do with it? They're going to use it to bring you in and in subjection to them. You better start storing up, not in natural bank accounts, but in spiritual bank accounts. Mark my word. Mark it. Mark it. Mark it. Mark my word. I trust that we will be diligent to make our calling in election sure. God bless you.